Hi there. Welcome to another episode of the Customer-Led Groove Show, where we discuss and share the best practices and the latest trends in customer marketing, advocacy, and customer-led growth. Today's episode is brought to you by BASE, a pioneer in B2B marketing and the industry's first CLG ecosystem for customer-led marketers, sales, and product professionals. Okay, let's welcome the CLG team and today's guests.
Hi there, Scott Wilder here, and welcome to another episode of Customer Led Groove, part of the CLG campus and orchestrated by BASE. Well, today is a special day. I have Liz Oseguera here, and Liz and I have known each other for a long time. Liz was the face of the infamous Marketing Nation community, which she and I worked together on. And right now she's at Airtable, where she's heading up their customer marketing program. She's the director of customer programs, I should say. And so she's going to talk all about what she does there, about customer marketing, and even more. So Liz, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Doesn't it seem like yesterday that we were building Purple Nations and things like that?
It really does. That was a very, very fun time. Actually, one of the best, I think, career decisions I've ever made in my life was working at Marketo, and it brought me to you, and we had some awesome times. So yeah, I know that we'll touch on that slightly, but that was a very special time in my life.
Awesome. And I've actually become a really big fan of Airtable, I'd say in the last year or so. I used it at HubSpot. We actually used Airtable to manage a lot of the content for the Academy, the HubSpot Academy. And just to show you how neurotic I can be about content, I basically keep track of everything I read in Airtable.
That's awesome. Look at you getting up to speed.
Well, I had to prepare for this, right?
So I know. Good for you. I'm impressed.
So Liz, I know this, but why don't you share a little bit about your journey and, you know, what you've done in the past in more detail than we've talked about, and how you got to Airtable and what you do at Airtable?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, actually, I first, if you don't mind, I want to start by, so I am the Director of Customer Programs at Airtable. I've been there about a year and a half. And for those of you that aren't familiar with Airtable, so we are a connected apps platform that really empowers anyone to build flexible apps on top of shared data, but all on a single platform. So think of like a content calendar, a social media calendar, product roadmap, product operations. So some examples would be, so for instance, Equinox, I'm assuming most people know that brand. They use this as a hub for all of their digital fitness content in their app. So they went from like manually uploading classes where one class could take like 8 hours to bulk publishing hundreds of playlists just in a matter of time. So they actually improved their time to publish by 400% with Airtable. So things like that. West Elm, their creative operations team, uses us to manage all of their product photography that you see on their site. So that's thousands of photos. So it's a very cool tool, and it's how we are able to manage our customer programs. So just wanted to start with that little introduction about what we do. So to tell you a little bit about my career journey. So I started actually in athletics, played softball in college, ended up getting a job at my college, Santa Clara University in the Bay. And that was my first, I don't know if I should admit this, but my first real job, because I kind of played sports my whole life. And that was a really great experience just to get involved in fundraising, relationship building, which certainly served me very well then getting into the tech space after that at Marketo. As I mentioned, Marketo was an amazing place for me to grow, learn the tech space. I had wonderful managers there like yourself, Heather Watkins. I'm going to give her a shout out. She was my first manager there. And then I was there for about 5.5 years, built up the Marketing Nation, the community, user groups, everything customer marketing. It was a really great introduction to the space, and I fell in love with it. So from there, I ended up going to Coupa and was the customer marketing manager there. In between all of this, I had some kids. And then from Coupa, I ended up getting the job at Airtable and have never looked back. I'm very happy and loving my job.
I forgot that we had baseball in common. So that's great.
Yes, absolutely.
How could I forget that? Yeah, I mean, it's quite a career, and I, you know, it's been great watching, you know, what you've accomplished from the bleachers. So I want to ask you a little bit about, you know, you're doing customer programs. Maybe you could share a little bit about the organization, where you sit in the organization, and as much as you're comfortable sharing in terms of how it's structured.
Yeah, so we sit under the communications team. It's myself and Valeria on my team who are our customer programs. Within comms, we have a team, I think, of eight now. So we have our head of comms, then there's analyst relations, there's social media, internal communications, and then we have our writer and editor who we work really closely with. She does essentially most of the writing across, or really all of the writing across customer stories and our newsroom. And then any of the content that you see on our website that is, you know, more educational or demand gen oriented, that would be our content team. And they actually don't sit within our group.
Got it. Got it. And what about your team's goals? And what are your team's goals? And then how do you kind of share your successes across the organization?
Yeah, absolutely. So our goals this year, actually, I'm really, really excited about them because we are shifting with the company. So our goal at the, I think, most simplistic level is to make sure that we support everything that we do as a company across marketing with customers and a customer point of view. So we are focused on the enterprise. Our team is very aligned with that. So the customers that we are working with are going to all be across the enterprise. And we're looking to make sure that we're surfacing the right customers for all of the great opportunities that we can offer customers. And really, that's endless. I mean, one of the wonderful things about working at Airtable, and what really drew me to it, is the ability to be creative and build. So we didn't have a customer marketing team before myself and my teammate came to Airtable. So to be able to come and just really figure out, like, what do customers want? What do they need? What's going to elevate their success the best? And what are they allowed to do? As now we're working with some of the much bigger brands, there's a lot of red tape, and that's okay. Like, we'll work within those brands to figure out what they can do. How do we highlight them? Maybe if it's they can only do internal engagements, how do we get them paired up with an analyst that could be really beneficial to them and also really helpful for us? So that's really our, at the highest level, it's really how do we support the organizational goals of making sure that we have customers across all these opportunities, including our conferences coming up, speaking engagements, making sure they're the right customer, telling the right stories, but also making sure that we're giving that unified experience to our customers as well. That's one of our goals. That falls in line a little bit with, we are actually rolling out our first advocacy program. So we've been soft launching it kind of through late last year. We're officially launching it this year, and it's really focused on our ability to, as a team, to build deep, deep relationships with our customers instead of what sometimes you see is more transactional. So it's not based on you do this for us and we give you a gift. It's definitely not that. It's really around building these deep quality relationships where we can find personal, that we can find out personal information about them. We can find out how they want to engage with us. And then that allows us to really create personalized experiences for these advocates based on how they want to engage so that we're certainly serving our goals and we're able to connect the right customers to the right opportunity at the right time, but also serving their goals and making it fun for them and making it personal to them. I think that personal touch is really what sets us apart.
Yeah, I like what you said and totally agree with the fact that, you know, figure out how people want to engage with you, right? There's some advocates who, you know, want to be heavily involved and be on stage. And then there's others who want to be kind of behind the scenes, and maybe they'll engage with others, but they actually just want to be behind the scenes and maybe touch base once in a while with a product team. So there's all different.
Absolutely.
I'm interested also, like, a lot of people who listen to this podcast are in the same situation that you were in terms of jumpstarting customer programs and customer marketing. Like, how did you approach that? You had this like whiteboard in front of you. How did you jumpstart customer programs there?
Yeah, it's something that I've always wanted to do. And I give a lot of credit to the great people that I've worked with in the past, including you, that kind of taught me a lot about how would I get a program off the ground and what are the things that it needs. But in terms of Airtable specifically, really, I needed to come in and I needed to do three things. So we were not only, like, I was new to Airtable, but customer marketing was a new concept to Airtable. not everyone knows what customer marketing even is, and I wasn't going to expect that they did. And like, how can I provide value to the organization? So the three things that I needed to do was, they sound fairly simple, but they actually were not. Build trust, credibility, and operationalize and scale, essentially. So to build trust, I really needed to, this is hard to do, especially in a remote world, which I'm sure anyone can relate to, where if you're in person, it's, at least for me, it's easier to build trust. I can sit down, have a cup of coffee with someone, get to know them. You, I think, more easily learn personal things about people when you're in person, and over a Zoom, it's a little more forced, but I had to force it. So I set up as many meetings as I could, got to know my stakeholders, got to try to learn about them as people as well, because I needed these people to kind of be in my inner circle, because I knew we were going to be partnering. And I really tried to listen to what their needs were as a team. How do they see, once they figured out what I was there for, how do they see me partnering with them? So that was the first part, because I knew that was going to serve me well long term. The credibility piece was really about, I had a really intense just internal feeling of, I got to produce content like immediately. Like week one, I was like, I got to get a story. I got to get some content and show sales and marketing that I'm here, I'm serious, and like I can elevate our customer success and stories. It didn't happen that quickly, but I started, again, because of the trust I was building, I started trying to streamline some things. I set up a nomination process so that our success and sales teams could easily source or like surface great customer opportunities for us to engage with. So we needed to know, like, who are the good stories? Who are the customers that we should be engaging with to tell the particular stories that align to our goals? And they were able to use that nomination form as a way to streamline that. Set up a repository. That's something that I really recommend, is making sure there's a central repository where, once you build all this content, where's it going to live? How are people going to access it? If they can't access it, then it's kind of a waste. So making sure that we had also not only a repository just for stories, but like all the different types of content that we were building. So things that I call like a snapshot goldmine, a quote bank. This is something that I've used at other companies as well, but really all it means is just different formats, so that sales can really easily grab what they need. A lot of the time, they need a slide that summarizes the story with talking points. They don't need a written 2-page document. So it's just depending on like knowing your audience and like quotes. We were able to, in the first full year, produce almost 40 pieces of content and surface over like 160 publicly approved quotes. So I think I achieved my goal of like that credibility where I really obviously wanted it to be quality as well, but we were also looking for quantity, where I wanted to just be like a machine. And so we figured it out, but now we're taking a little bit of a different focus, which I'll talk to in a minute. That last one about operationalizing, that's really where I needed to educate the company, which I tried to do a little bit in that first part of building trust, but I created a customer marketing playbook. This is something that I also did actually at a previous company. And this is something that, it may not even live, you know, for your entire time at a company. It may not be relevant, but because we were brand new, if you're coming into a company that has never had customer marketing, a lot of people, it's kind of a foreign concept, or they don't know. It's very different for different companies. So the playbook enabled me to kind of focus on my job, but let people know why we were there, how we could help partner with them, how we could help them achieve their goals. It was where I kept all of the links for the nomination form, for educational things. It wasn't this like huge thing, but when people had questions, I could just send them there. So instead of me having to just repeat myself constantly about what we do, or here's the form is here, having everything centralized in, we used the wiki, was really, really helpful.
I think a really key thing there is, you know, as customer marketers, we talked earlier about like how it's really important to let the customer pick their journey and present information the way they want. But there's another key stakeholder, which you were talking about, is the sales team, and maybe it's the CS team as well, is understanding how they want to process the information, how they want to receive it. So that's great. I love the idea of the playbook, the internal playbook. Anything else in terms about like how you're working with your key stakeholders? I mean, we just talked about sales, but are there folks in the organization, like how decisions are made cross-functionally?
Yeah, absolutely. So our key stakeholders, I've already mentioned all of them. are across sales and success, as well as implementation in some regards. And they all sit under, in our organization, they sit under customer engagement and then marketing. So those are our main stakeholders. We partner really, really closely, as I've mentioned, with sales and success on surfacing great customer stories. Now that we are shifting we have shifted and we're focused on the enterprise. And so we have a little bit more of a narrow focus on the customers that we want to engage with and elevate. And so working with them on really being more of a strategic partner is something that I'm really excited about for the years to come. You know, I talked about like how we started and it wasn't about quality, but it was more about quantity. I wanted to like build that library. And now we have that library. Now we're shifting to, how do we really make sure that these engagements can be with some of our bigger customers to share that real connected app story about using Airtable, how it's intended to be used, to share data across multiple teams, multiple functions, share these meaningful, critical data sets, and how they're having success because of that visibility and because of that single source of truth. Those are the stories that we really want to uncover. And the customers, even if they're not there yet, so many customers are actually building that out. It is a little bit of a, dare I say, a newer motion for some customers. And so even working with customers who they see the long term, they see that long term value, having them speak at our events or, you know, even, you know, join some of our networking opportunities is really, really valuable. And we hope also we, of course, make it valuable for them as well so that they can build their networks and elevate their brands and things like that.
Nice, nice. So you mentioned stories. Can you tell me a little bit more about the stories and how you put them together and how you decide which stories to use?
Yeah. So as I just mentioned, with us being very, we have a pretty narrow focus. Something that I did a little differently going into this year was because we had a wider net in the past, there wasn't as much of a need to be extremely clear on like, here are the requirements that we have. And so to help the internal team, I actually created a checklist, kind of and I keep saying stories, which that's sometimes that it sounds like that's all we do. It's just like, we're just going to create a customer story and that's all we do. There are a million formats of that we've kind of talked about of just like the story could be maybe the first touch point, but that could be leveraged across so many different marketing opportunities and sales and success. So just didn't want to sell anyone short there where we're not just focused on stories, but in order to align internally, I created a checklist, which I never really have had to do before. It's not to say it's set in stone that like, if this customer doesn't check these 10 boxes, then we're not going to engage with it. Like, it's not like that. It's more to just help us stay aligned on making sure that what we're producing, that we're all rowing in the same direction, if that makes sense. So the checklist has been really helpful to kind of help us prioritize and weed through, because we have so many wonderful customers that are doing great things. We do have to be very selective based on the type of opportunity and how much time it will take our team, because we have such a lean team as well. So that checklist has been really helpful internally. We also have been working extremely hard to make sure that just sales success and marketing, making sure that we're aligned with them as a team. We all have the same goals, so we know that we're all focused on the same things. But just making sure that they know how our goals have shifted a little bit to where we are now in line to support them better. So sales is selling into these big enterprise companies. They need to show examples of how these big enterprise, give me an example of a customer in this vertical who can talk about how they're connecting data across marketing and product and how that like what's the ROI on that, how that's showing them impact and transforming their organizations. We have to be able to deliver on that. So we're being much more targeted, and we really have to make sure that we're figuring out and communicating to those teams that we are aligned and that it's going to be more of a partnership rather than just we're going to pump out content and throw it on the other side of the fence and hope that someone grabs it. Something else is we adjusted our nomination form to be much more concise and just easy to use. That will help us get more of the results that we need and allow the teams that are using it to be more streamlined. So just kind of, that's an example of evolving as you go through. We were asking a ton of questions and trying to get so much information, and now it's much more targeted and specific and just easier to fill out, and we'll probably get a lot more from it. And I guess the last thing around stories or something that we do to make sure, again, I know I've talked a lot about alignment, but on the marketing side, and I should have gone more into this when you asked about stakeholders, something that is a huge change for us that is, I think, going to be really, really beneficial long term is working with marketing to, before we even embark on doing a story or doing a bigger engagement, we connect with the campaigns team centrally in marketing to make sure, how is this going to, like, where is this going to fit in the H1 plans? So is this going to help, like, what initiatives? Where is this going to be leveraged? Where is it going to be used, to make sure that we already have that plan in place to leverage the content, or to make sure that we can maximize the exposure of the customer, assuming that's what they want. Whereas we were not doing that, it was a lot less strategic before. And so making sure, if we have that alignment, then the post plan of knowing exactly where it's going to be placed in those campaigns, that allows us to also measure things better. Like, we can measure our success, our ROI, like, how is the content being used? How is it being surfaced? So there's a lot of wins there. So I'm excited. We're just kind of starting that now. And I'm really excited to partner with those teams.
I like what you said about alignment with the campaigns team. I mean, one of the things that we're focused on, you know, advocacy obviously is a really important thing in terms of what we're doing and references, but we're actually taking a more of a holistic picture and saying, okay, what's the life cycle of the individual, the customer, even before they become a customer you interact with? And there's a lot of learnings you can have with the campaign team, and you want to be synced up in messaging, analytics, all that, you know, all that stuff. And the good news is, more and more, when I'm on these podcasts and also on office hours and on the CLG campus, I'm hearing more and more customer marketers talking about being aligned with the MOPS team, marketing operations team, for people who don't know that, and also with the demand gen team. So that's great to hear. I want to be sensitive to everybody's time, so I'm going to just finish with two or three more questions. So one thing I like to ask is there anything today that I have not asked you and you're like, damn, Wilder, why haven't you asked me that question?
No, I feel like the only thing that I'd want to, I guess, put some emphasis on, which is not by any means rocket science, but I think also, again, being in the remote world that we're in, is something that I think we're doing a better job of now going into this year, is the relationship building. No matter what you're doing, whether you're starting a new job and need to build trust and credibility, or like from the customer standpoint of, it's sometimes, especially with a small team, which a lot of customer marketing teams are small, being heads down, knowing that you have certain goals to hit, and forgetting to really take the time to try and either figure out, like in our case, we were able to actually put a program around it and enable us to like get to know our customers, put the relationship first. A lot of the time it's perceived as an ask. Like, I hear that a lot, where that's a challenge that we faced, is when working with sometimes like sales or success, even it's, well, just tell me what the ask is and I'll ask the customer. And I'm really trying to get away from that, where like, this is not a favor. This is not an ask. This is a joint partnership opportunity. And it can be perceived that way if you've put in the time to build the relationship first, rather than if you're just hitting people up ad hoc and randomly saying, can you do this? Can you do this? Which, in times that are moving so fast, that's hard sometimes not to do. But if you've already spent time building that relationship, sometimes when you have a really urgent request, which those are going to happen regardless, you can ask certain people, or like, I'm so sorry, this is a little last minute. Do you want to speak at this event next week? I'm very sorry. We like to plan more, but you've already built the relationship, and it's more like asking a friend rather than like, I'm getting a random cold email from Liz at Airtable who's asking me to do this event. I don't totally see the value. It just kind of gets lost in translation. So that's something that I've always known relationship building is very important, but seeing that, especially with how we're developing our advocacy program, I think is going to really help us long term. So just don't forget that piece of it. It takes a long time, but it's worth it.
Now, I'm going to embarrass you a little bit, because I remember I was presenting at a conference, and I talked about the Marketing Nation. And one of the great things was, is that you, when you were working at Marketo, really built a relationship with the community, the champions and folks like that, so that you could go to them in the last minute pinch and say.
And I did. Yeah. And I did. But I actually still friends with some of them, though. I'm yeah. still good with some of them. That was wonderful to be able to get to know them on a personal level.
But the key to that is that, you know, you got to know them and they got to know you. And so it's great to hear that you've kind of played it forward in your other jobs. And I think it's really important that, you know, customer marketers, you know, feel under the gun because there's one or two people in the department because the CEO or CMO is asking, I need it now. But taking time to, you know, get out of that transaction mindset and get more into the relationship mindset. So it doesn't surprise me that you're implementing that there.
Yeah.
The second to last question, or the last question is, so who, like person, et cetera, or what, like a website or a book, has really influenced you the most in terms of your professional career?
That is a tough one. It's really hard to give. I would lean towards definitely people rather than like things that I've read. I would say one person that stands out is my boss at Santa Clara, actually. It was a really influential time in my life of just after college, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I loved sports, and the job opened up in the athletic department to fundraise for scholarships. So like really close to home. And I had a manager who, he really took me under his wing. He understood he'd been in business for 40 years, and I think he saw potential in me. I don't want to say I was a mess. That might be a little too forward, but I was coming out of college. I was going to grad school. I was living on my own. It was a little bit of a different life, and I was having a lot of fun. And I worked hard at my job, but I also had a lot of fun. And so I think his advice and his ability to kind of keep my eye on the prize, and he taught me a lot about relationship building and fundraising, and he also taught me a lot about life. It was, again, I mentioned that time of my life just because I wasn't married yet. I didn't have kids, and there, you know, a lot of ups and downs sometimes in your 20s. And he was such a great source of, whether he was my therapist one day or he was just instilling like, this is how things need to work. You need to do better at this. He was a straight shooter, which I really appreciated. He ended up actually officiating my wedding. He became a really good family friend. He saw my now husband. He saw our relationship develop. And so that was one of the reasons we asked him. But he's been a really important person, just still as a mentor, and I call for advice. So he's been a great person in my life to bounce things off of. And I'm not just saying this because it's you, Scott, but you were also on that list of influential people just because the experience that we had at Marketo, I think, was really great and unique. And I feel like you were brought to Marketo to kind of do that project of like implementing Jive. And just there was so much that I learned about how an organization works and management, even though I wasn't directly manage anyone. I certainly learned about managing up when you were my manager. No, I'm just kidding. But I did learn a lot from you just in terms of like the inner workings of the managerial aspect and learning when to do certain things, when to hold back. There were a lot of, I think, high emotions in some of the projects that we worked on because they were big projects and they took a lot of time. And I think we kind of poured our hearts into them. So I look back on that pretty fondly, and I did learn a lot from you. So I was so, you know, honored that you wanted to do this podcast with me, and just appreciate our friendship and this awesome opportunity to share the little insight that I feel like I have. But customer marketing has been a great journey for me so far. So thanks for having me.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being on the show today. And I know people are really going to appreciate everything you've shared, because a lot of what you're going through is what people are, you know, experiencing as well, in terms of like, how do you orchestrate customer marketing? How do you orchestrate customer marketing programs and things like that? So thank you for joining. So I'm going to wrap up now, unless you have anything else you want to add.
No, I have talked enough. No, thank you so much for having me.
This is about you. So anyway, I want to thank everybody for joining Customer-Led Groove today. And I like to end this way always, is that sure, you can find us on Apple and Spotify and Amazon and Alexa and Google. It's up to you if you want to like us. What I prefer is that you listen or watch and then just play it forward and share with somebody else. Thank you.
Thank you again for joining Customer-Led Groove. Remember, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and on the CLG campus. Feel free to rate us, follow us, and leave a comment on any of those platforms. We hope to see you again soon when we're back in the Customer-Led Groove.